I was about to say, if this is any indication of how my like reviews go tonight, cheese is good. It's gonna be a thrilling.
That's episode. That's a mic review.
No, that's okay.
It's good. It was good.
Today at work,
book is good.
Instead of writing cheese at the end of an email, I wrote cheese.
Instead of writing your own cheese,
and I almost sent the voice over it. It was like blah 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 blah. It's all about
cheese.
It.
Cheese.
It's great. Like a small design email.
Welcome to the Watcher Show, your weekly dose of all things pop culture. I'm Nath.
I'm Em.
I'm Mike.
And we are back in the 90s. We've gotten to the time machine and we have a 90s picnic in front of us thanks to Mike's mom. And it is a delish fest, a go-go.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mike's, one of Mike's many sound effects
that you will
hear.
Homemade guac.
With orange stuff, he tells us that's in it. Yeah.
It turned out the orange stuff was indeed
Doritos.
They are quite orange.
They are. Mm. And I have been challenged tonight by Em to eat Doritos with a what type of forks are they?
I guess
they're little
what are these things? Olive forks.
Are they olive fork? Is that what they are?
Well, they'll be like
I mean, it's like a little
T Rex hand.
It's like a T Rex hand.
It's a mini
kind of a mini pitchfork. Reminds me of the kind of things you get given to eat snails.
Satan's children use when they learn to grow up using a real pitchfork.
Oh, you can't start on them though.
This is like pitchfork. Training fork.
That's what it's all about.
Wow. So let's, without further ado. Dean's not with us. Because he's performing.
His final show,
That's right. And we were going to, instead we were going to have Channing Tatum on the show tonight, but he's too busy grinding it up for Magic Mike 2. So,
yeah.
If you haven't seen the preview, don't bother.
They really make a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
You thought I was joking about the grinding? You will now have to go
the
watch
Twitters
it.
Have exploded over it.
Yes. Lots of explovers.
Yeah.
Lots of explovers.
Big explovers.
Yes. Yep. You heard it here first. Okay, so let's get into the news. Mike, do you have any news for us?
Sure.
Other than guacamole and paprika slash.
That was it.
That was paprika slash Doritos.
Well, what can I say?
There really isn't a lot. The first trailer for Daredevil came out today for us. And you can see that on the watch page on Facebook. And it looks good. It looks really, really good. Very gritty. It's going to Netflix, which will be in April. Mm-hmm. So for those of us that managed to survive Netflix Armageddon, the great culling of Netflix in Australia. If you can survive that for the US version, then you'll be able to watch that in April. But I was really impressed with the trailer. Very, very dark. Lots of blood.
Well, they're inspired by Miller, they're going for that look.
It's no Ben Affleck.
No fighting
in a children's playground with Jennifer Garner.
No.
It really isn't.
No. I think Vincent DeFiorio, if I pronounced that correctly.
I think
he's going to be great as Kingpin.
Yes.
And they didn't show much of him in the actual clip. Just very, very brief. But that's how the character's going to work as well behind the scenes. It's how...
Be like Dr. Claw in Inspector Gadget.
That's right. That's
you might see an arm. You might see an arm occasionally. And then that will turn into more.
Mm.
Absolutely. No, well, was it? What was the film that he was in? What was the Stanley Kubrick film that he was in? Was it? Wasn't Apocalypse?
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. That's right. Remember, he had a bald head in that. And he was quite mean. Mm. Well, towards he sort of lost the plot, didn't he? Really,
at the end.
And he looked good. He looked good. I mean, that's how I kind of imagine him to look, but just with a lot more weight on. And he has put a lot more weight on, so let's face it.
For the role.
Yeah, of course, for the role. You know, it was five years in the making, but, you know.
Actually, the way he got bigger for the role was he just walked into a restaurant and said this.
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
No, it's the whole sugar with water.
Yes!
More.
You sound like Arnie.
It's a terrible impersonation.
You do the best impersonations, Mike.
Oh, jeez.
Keep going. Keep it
up. I think it has to stop right there.
Yep. What else have you got there, Mike?
Norm Brayfogle is improving. He's currently got rehab certification. Yes. And he was a Batman artist in the 80s and 90s.
Probably one of the best Batman artists.
Really good. Love his style.
Yep.
And he had a stroke just before Christmas. And there's been a lot of crowdfunding to, you know, help him out. Because he's pretty much got no health cover over in the US. The way it all works over there, I'm not too sure. But they managed to raise, I think, close to $100,000.
Wow.
Did the Hero Initiative help with that? I wasn't too sure whether the Hero Initiative got involved.
I'm actually not sure.
Because they, you would have thought, because that's pretty much what their job is to do. So, challenge accepted and done.
To it.
And done. Well. Yes, I have picked up a Dorito with the fork. Sorry, that was very serious, very intensive for me. But continue, please, Mike.
No, it's good. It's good to see that he's on the mend, and hopefully he started to kind of write messages with VoiceApp on Facebook.
Mm.
But yeah, he's doing better, and hopefully we can see more from him soon. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Cool.
Good work. Anything else that you've got hanging around in the interwebs there for?
Nothing else from
usage
at this point. So
no.
Yeah. New Superman, the way he's looking and his new power.
What's the new power, by the way?
Super flare. Now, what happens is he actually puts on these brown flares.
Mm, yeah.
And But the thing is, once he goes this Nova, where he does this super flare, he's then powerless for 24 hours and he's human during that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take what you will with that.
And he's got fingerless gloves. So we're talking about the 90s.
He created those fingerless gloves.
We are talking about the 90s.
Because he woke up in the Batcave and it destroyed his suit, so Alfred and Bruce came up with a new suit for him and they gave him the fingerless gloves. Go out!
Go out. He's usually a good tailor.
Well,
I'm usually happy with his bat suits, but...
Yeah, he's a good tailor and he's fairly swift.
I think
when it comes to getting those costumes together.
But the haters are going to hate. So, and the bakers are going to bake. Yeah, they really are.
Bacon's good. I think it's kind of a mixed feel on that. But
I'm not happy with it. Mm. A lot of people are saying that's
the boots are back.
Ridiculous.
The old school boots are back.
Old school. He's got Wonder Woman boots. He has. He's got.
Yeah,
one.
He doesn't.
He's got a little V in the boot.
Yeah, it's the old suit's boot.
It's kind of looking like the Wonder Woman. Well, they are together. So maybe.
He's wearing her boots.
He's wearing boots. Because her boots were made for walking.
Yeah, they really were. I was going to go there.
Maybe they just swapped them between
them. Yeah, I think.
Oh, I picked up your boots again.
Oh, we got the same foot. I am an Amazon.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am an Amazon. Yeah.
Do you have any news you prefer to throw onto the mix?
Good news.
Well, Doctor Who Lego set has been announced. That's very exciting because I was actually looking for Doctor Who Lego for Dean for Christmas last year, and I was really disappointed that I couldn't find any. So, I'm wrapped.
You should have made your own.
I should have made my own, but
that would have been good from the heart instead of your half-assed.
I didn't have time.
Box of whatever it was, Avengers-ness, not was it?
It was awesome Lego. Jesus.
No, it was Lego.
Hey.
Wow, it really is. She wasn't in the 90s, though, Taylor Swift. I think she was still going to school.
No, it's just that you're a hater.
She was writing. She was writing food at that stage, I think, but she wasn't.
Anyway, who knows if she was even alive in the 90s? Taylor Swift's only, like, 21, isn't she?
I don't know. That would make her alive in the 90s. She would have been
mid-90s.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, back in the day.
Anyway. Doctor Who Lego.
In the day.
That sounds pretty awesome. Also, bit of a random sort of weird piece of news. Have you guys seen that card game called Exploding Kittens by Elan Lee?
Yes.
Who writes the Oatmeal comic?
Yes.
It is apparently the most backed project on Kickstarter ever.
Oh,
it's
really?
Become, yeah. So
How
it's,
much is it? How much is it going
I'm not sure, but I read this. I can't remember, but I remember seeing that it was like, it's become the most backed project ever. It's similar to, it's like Cards Against Humanity. Nice. It's that kind of idea.
Cats.
So anyone who reads Cats. The Oatmeal comics, it's that style of cartoons, that style of humor. And I think the idea is that, like, you get these cards that you can use as weapons, and they're cats that have got weird, like, powers, and it's just called Exploding Kittens. It looks so much fun. They're hilarious. I haven't backed it yet, but I keep meaning to.
If it was dogs, I'd back it. Birds, cats.
Who's going to
hang? It really is.
Come on, throw something in the kitty.
Huh? Something in the kitty. Get it.
So Exploding Kittens. Also, I think the news is the right place for Watch It Plug In.
No, not
No? Nah. But that's kind of newsy.
No. We'll do that separately. We'll do that separately. Give it its own. Give its own credits.
The puppet master has spoken.
It's going to get its own special intro.
Stay tuned for that. Getting back to the Lego, they have some extra ones that are coming out too. You're going to be able to build your own lightsaber. With the Technics, with the Technics stuff, which is pretty cool. You can build Wall-E, like Pixar's Wall-E. I believe that you'll be able to like make a little remote control and you'll be able to roll and stuff like that.
That's rad.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Ghostbusters headquarters is coming as well.
Yes.
So that's the second
scale.
That'll be second series, yes.
Can you live in it?
It really is. Yes, you can.
Based on their rental inspection, the Lego version would probably be more stable than the.
I would say so. Yeah.
But they've got a basement. There's actually a basement part to it.
Wow.
And so you know where they've got the containment unit to put all the ghosts. You open the containment unit. You can put Slimer in there, and I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
You went to see Ghostbusters 1 and 2 a few weeks back, but
what you're watching? Come on.
Yeah. Are we not sticking to the time?
You're so not sticking to the time. You're the one who created it. You're all over the place.
All right, come on, guys.
Gold. Let's jump. What's
Move
next?
On.
Hey, let's get into a new segment. What you're listening to? Yeah, this is a good one.
All right, well, you guys can start.
We can go on because ours doesn't take a back seat to yours, so can go first.
Was that a drive pun?
That was a drive pun.
I feel like it was.
And you'll get that in a second.
I feel like I got it already because the title drive, so...
For our listeners,
All right, so I listen to a podcast. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it.
It's a watch a show.
You may or may not have heard of it. No, it's called Serial. sorry.
Oh, this is following the...
I keep dropping things on my lap and then making this weird noise.
I'm just going to sell it. It's called Cereal.
It's terrible. No, Cereal is...
Which edition was it? Was it the cornflakes or the rice bubbles?
Don't even. this is the number one podcast on iTunes, most popular podcast on all of iTunes. That's a big deal.
Wow.
A friend of mine at work recommended it to me, so... What it is it's a podcast about this woman who investigates a murder case that happened in 1999. So it's a schoolgirl in America, a high school girl around 17 or 18 years old, I think, was killed in 1999, and her ex-boyfriend was convicted for the crime and put into jail.
Right.
But the case seems really dodgy, and there are lots of things that just don't add up. The ex-boyfriend, one of his best friends, told this whole story about how the ex-boyfriend did it, and he told him about it, and he even helped him bury the body. And there's all these things that don't make sense because they were always friends, and everyone says that it's just not like him to kill someone.
Yes.
In each episode she uncovers more and more evidence, and you get deeper and deeper into the case, and as you go you start to realize there are all these little things that just don't make sense. And it's so gripping, especially because this is real. This really happened. And she really has conversations with Anam Saeed is his name. He's in prison. And she has conversations with him that you listen to on air. So he calls her from jail and they talk about the case and they talk about what happened. And she talks to Jay, the guy who claims that Anand did it and he helped him bury the body. She talks to all these other people, like this is 15 years later, to try and figure out who actually did it. So
I think somebody's burying the body right now.
So I won't spoil anything. But this is
someone died in it.
It is absolutely gripping. Like, honestly, even the very first podcast, he opens it by saying, "I've spent the last year trying to figure out what one teenager was doing for half an hour in 1999. Because that's kind of the window of time when she died.
Yeah.
That's the one window of time on that day that he can't figure out an alibi. Mm. And so she spent all this time trying to figure it out. It's amazing. I started listening and I finished it. It was 12 episodes. They're about an hour long each.
Mm.
And I reckon I finished it over the course of like 2 or 3 days. And that was going to work as well.
So it's just 12. There's no more after that.
No, and it'll so the idea is the next that, yeah, right, okay. The next ding, ding. Season will be another mystery, is another murder case. I'm not going to say what happens at the end.
Okay.
The last episode, apparently it picked up such a big following in the States. They were having listening parties. And so they were having like cafes and restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's, I'd seen those articles as well before I actually started listening to it. And there's a second podcast called, like, Talking Serial or something, and after each podcast there'd be a second podcast where people... Snap,
Crackle and Pop were on there.
Exactly. People just sit around and talk about, kind of like the Talking Dead.
Like Talking Dead, the after show.
Yeah, it's like the after show.
And Game of Thrones have now started doing it as well.
Yeah, they had a podcast where people talk about what happened on Serial. I cannot recommend this enough. It's absolutely so gripping. Trust me. If you listen to just one episode, you just won't be able to stop.
After you listen to the watch show.
Yeah. Of course.
Every week.
Yeah, the thing is, though, whatever knocks these guys off the first place, they're going to be known as the serial killers.
Oh,
that's great. That's good. That's so good. That's really good.
That's a good one.
You've got to think about that. Like, number one podcast on all of iTunes. That's huge.
That's massive, considering. Like,
that is massive. So it's absolutely amazing. So you want to make sure you got some spare time once you start listening to it, because you just won't be able to turn it off. Jake, the Bat Stash is listening to it.
Hour episodes, right?
Sorry?
Hour episodes.
About an hour. Yeah,
that's fine, because that's what it takes me to get to work. So.
Well, that's the thing. I would listen to it on the commute in and out on the train. And yeah, I've got Bat Stash onto it now. He listened to one episode and he was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty good. And now that he's really into it, he's like, every time I see him, he's got his headphones on. He's like, oh, I just found out that Jay did this. I'm like, this person did this. And I'm like, just keep listening. So Serial, get into it. And it is Serial, as in Serial Killer. So yeah.
Sorry, after the Watcher Show.
After the Watcher Show.
After the Watcher Show.
Listen to Serial.
Now,
what have you guys been listening to?
Only probably the raddest radio digital station on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Hector, our good friend Hector Busnuts, he actually
bust nuts.
Yeah, he is. He's busting nuts.
Not bust nuts.
No, bust nuts. Yeah.
Bust nuts.
Hector Busnuts. It's his nom de plume, isn't it? I think it's his nom de plume.
Nom de plume.
Yeah, nom de plume. But yeah,
which is translated to me
is
the plum.
He posted it, and then I posted it to Mike, and I think my comments. My comment was, you can never have enough synth in your life.
Mm, true.
So get your white suits on. Maybe with some fluoro.
Pick up your Ray-Bans.
Cut the top off your car, the roof off your car.
Cut the bottom off your t-shirt.
That's just too awesome. You can't go any further than that, but... Yeah.
Because what will happen is the show will just continue with just the music and not us.
Yeah, we stop talking. But that's actually a great, great little thing. And I've been kind of going on there and checking out the music and constantly feel as though I'm in the background of some kind of Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Drive Radio.
It's on Mike's. It's on Mike's Facebook page. If you're friends with Mike,
it's all streaming. You can actually get the app as well onto your phone, so you can listen to it.
Back to the 80s synthwave.
It is the best. It really is the best. And if you're not into it, then
get out of here.
Just leave.
Who are you?
Go to the 90s.
Just keep on driving.
Drive right on through the 90s. Yeah, I love the 90s.
Well, what was so good about the 90s?
Oh my god, best decade ever.
Because you were born in it.
I wasn't born in the 90s.
When were you born?
83.
Okay, that's good. Well, what's so good about the 90s?
And that's for our next segment.
What's so good about the
80s? What's so good about the 80s? Well, you know, Mike and I, we were born in the 70s. Correct. So that's right. We grew up in the 80s.
Grew up in the 80s.
You grew up in the 80s. So you would have been born in the 80s. So you would have grown up in the 90s.
So your argument thus far is you weren't born in the 80s. No. And you grew up in the 80s. And that's what makes them awesome.
That's right. It's exactly
some of the best films came out in the 80s.
That's right.
Okay, well, therefore, my argument for the 90s is I wasn't born in the 90s, yeah, okay. And I grew up in
the
90s.
What was good about the 90s?
Well, there you go,
tell us, tell us what was good about the 90s.
No, you tell me what's good about the 80s.
What was good about the 80s?
The 90s had the best music. The 90s had the best fashion. Some of the best TV shows, groundbreaking,
pants,
like
really?
Buffy, X-Files, groundbreaking. Voyager.
Groundbreaking.
They were groundbreaking. Breaking. Yes, they were.
No, I think that Excavator's groundbreaking.
Excuse me.
I'm not sure if they were.
That was a nice way to smooth out that little conflict. Rising tension. Mike comes in with a humor hammer.
That's what you do.
Yeah. I think the 80s was more groundbreaking with TV.
What was groundbreaking in the 80s?
The 18.
Family Ties.
Family Ties. There was.
Groundbreaking, yeah!
There was The Fall Guy. That's great stuff.
Knight Rider.
Talking
the 90s introduced
Talking Cars, Drive.
Monster of the Week plus sort of long form, ongoing narrative, like,
what's
format.
Wrong with that?
That was introduced in the 90s.
No,
and
that was in the 80s. Introduced every week.
That's
no,
right.
No, that is not.
That Knight Rider? Was there not a continuing story with Knight Rider?
That's.
Because he didn't know who
he was,
remember? And so he was forever
even
trying to find out.
Even the term
Monster
of the Week is associated now with the likes of X-Files and Buffy, because that's
Scooby.
When that
do you
started.
Know, do you know the X-Files? Do you know X-Files is actually based on an older show?
May have been based on. Everything is based on something, first of all.
Not
so
Knight Rider.
No.
There is. Come on. What is Knight Rider based on?
Actually, no, there was. It was what? It was Night Car. It was in the 1920s.
I'm sorry, Michael. You'll have to crank a little bit harder.
Track. You'll have to go over time.
I'm sorry, Michael. You'll have to crank a little bit harder. Yeah. So, no, that's Thunderbirds.
That was it.
It's a
serial podcast. Sorry.
All right.
What the hell? You've just gone back.
No, because I was reading about Drive, and then I was reading about Serial, and then I saw something about
Drive
a sequel.
Drive Radio.
And,
check it out.
Yeah, check out Drive Radio, guys.
Forget about the 90s and just go back to the 80s.
Shut up. Quiet
plus
you.
10. Quiet you. Okay, let's
go.
Go
back to the 80s plus 10.
Let's go nice. Into What You're Reading. What You're Reading.
What You're Reading. What have I read?
You can think about it. Well,
yeah, me too.
Go, Em.
Me.
You've got a red book in front of you.
I've got a book in front of me. So, first of all, I've been reading more Pratchett. I'm still making my way through the Discworld.
Oh.
How's Mike going?
I'm still at 130 pages.
You know what he's getting? He's getting the audio book.
Sad.
Listen to it away.
I have not gone to the end to see how it ends. I'm determined to read this.
Well, no, don't do that. I didn't even know that was an option.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to do it.
It hadn't entered my mind, but now I worry about that.
He did download the Cliff Notes, though.
Okay.
The Cliff Notes.
They're the ones Cliff Richard's got, right?
They are. Mm. His wife is Sam.
I started reading this, and admittedly, I've been distracted by a number of different things, so I haven't picked it up in a little while, but not so long that I've forgotten. Not as bad as you. I'm reading Strong Female Protagonist by Brennan Lee Mulligan and Molly Ostertag. This was given to me by Santa Dean. It's black and white, which I actually really like. There's this nice juxtaposition of like a superhero world and then just really plain, not plain in the style of drawing, but it's, you know.
It's good black and white.
The palette is muted.
Killer Croc's in it. Killer Croc. There's a picture of Killer Croc in it. It looks like Killer Croc anyway. Probably not.
Anyway, this book is about a girl who, my understanding is she used to be a superhero.
Right.
And the way that it's framed, it's almost like she's kicked the habit, like it was a really bad habit in her life, and she's given it up.
Okay.
And my impression, having only been sort of, I'd say, about a third of the way through, so far, what I say the story is about is...
Probably two pages or half.
Yeah. The tension, it's about the tension in her life around trying to reconcile who she was and who she is now. So the her that used to be this superhero and the her now who's trying to just get on with her life, she's trying to... you know, go to uni, get a degree, but her history kind of keeps jumping up and biting her in the ass. So, for example, she goes to a uni protest, like a rally, and she gets pissed off at one of the cops, and they kind of cower away from her when she gets annoyed because they think she's gonna, like,
so they all know who she, like, so they know who she is too.
They all know that she's, you know, she's given it up. And she can't sort of just get on with her life without people treating her a bit differently or being afraid of her. They go into some of the, it reminded me of Medicorans.
They go
into a bit of the science of how it is that she's a superhero.
Was it done well, though? Because Medicorans really wasn't done
well. It actually was done well. It was when she goes for a checkup with the college nurse, and they talk about how some kind of something that's wrong with her, how it's related to this condition she has, which is what makes her a superhero.
Yep.
And I feel like it's obviously leading to a point where she's going to have to make a decision about whether she steps back into her old life or continues the way that she is. There's a few of her sort of friends from her old life that are now popping back up into her life and trying to pull her back into that scene. Mm. She's finding herself getting...
It's kind of like her slips.
She's finding herself getting caught up in that scene again. One really odd thing, I can't decide whether I like it or not.
Oh.
So you guys can see...
I like the art. The art's really nice.
It's really nice art.
Simplistic.
Reminds me of the guy who's
good light and shade.
Oh, man. The artist. I'm trying to think of the artist's name.
Formerly known as Prince?
No.
Oh. Because he was funky.
Allred.
Explain.
What's his first name?
Mr. Allred.
This is not anyway. Make for great reading.
It's not, it really isn't.
Anyway, the thing that's weirding me out, not sure whether I like it or not. Mm. So on each page, you've got all the panels, and then you've got down the bottom, it's like a footnote, and there's one on every single page, and it's a little footnote to something that's happening on that page in the panels. So, for example, on this page, she's having a dream where she's flying above the city, and then it says down the bottom, even superheroes have flying dreams. So it's kind of like it's like little editorials. She's making little footnotes at the end of each page, which just adds this little bit of insight into what she's thinking. I don't know if I like it or not. Partly because
does it break you out of it?
Yes, it breaks me out of it. It forces me out of the flow of the story because I have to go down here and look at this little line. Right. So that makes me think, why?
I have a solution.
If that's an important message, why is it not just in the panel somewhere? Two, the other thing that annoys me about it is that sometimes I can see that gives me greater insight into the character and it's important. Sometimes they're not important notes at all. And I think I just broke out of the story to read this thing that serves no purpose. Unless there's something that happens at the end where I realize all of those little bits added up to something. But
you'll have to tell us.
But it's like, it's there, so I can't not read them. Do you know what I mean? Because I know it's down there, and I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I need to see if this is something worth...
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's that's one of the catches, that you have to read that bottom part because you're getting used to it, and then it will reveal something to you, you know?
That's what I'm hoping, to be honest.
I wonder if you did... Once you get through the book, I wonder if you go back and you just read the footnotes, whether that actually creates a story.
I'd like to try that. That's what I'm wondering. I'd like to try doing that.
Or, if it doesn't, there's a solution to that problem. It's called liquid paper, and you'll never have that problem again.
It's like it was never there.
So basically, I'm enjoying this. I'm finding it a little bit slow. I'm expecting
the turn to
happen soon. I'm expecting something quite dramatic to happen quite soon.
Was it like a graphic novel that's based over a series of issues, or is that just one book?
Well, this is book one.
Oh, okay.
So I assume there's more to come.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, there you go. I would recommend it.
You'd recommend it.
Yeah.
Except for the
parts at the bottom. Even though those bits at the bottom are annoying, they intrigue me because I've never seen anything like it. So I'm really curious to know what that's about.
I'm just trying to think.
I really want to skip to the end and see if there's some
thing. That's what Mike's doing with his book. which is what's that Terry Pratchett book called?
The Hogfather.
Oh, The Hogfather. Yeah, that's right.
That's just going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm going to get onto it. But the irony is that artist, or Randy's first name is Mike. I really should have got that, and yep. I apologize.
Good job.
Yeah.
Mike already.
I do apologize to all mics out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Including the one we're using now to record.
And Magic Mike.
And I don't know.
He's you
don't
apologize to him? He's too busy grinding
he's
it
too
up.
Busy grinding.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about it. Neither have I. So
neither
have
is anyone.
About.
It's just...
No need to see.
Somehow they got a second.
Yeah, somehow you don't even
XXL.
Need to see.
XXL. That's what it's called.
What?
Is it really?
It really is. Magic Mike XXL.
That's awesome.
Guys, if you're forced to watch either of that. Or...
It's the showgirls for... It's,
it would be Magic Mike 2. I know what you're going to say.
Horrible Bosses 2?
No, it would be Magic Mike 2. Are you kidding? I actually would kind of like to watch Magic Mike
tell
2
us,
for
okay,
the hilarity.
Tell us, watchers, what would be better to watch? Magic Mike 2 or Horrible Bosses 2? Or I'll throw in a third one there.
Ooh.
The Hangover 2. Which ones? Which one would you rather watch?
I would watch Magic Mike 2.
Ooh, okay. I would...
Do you know what would be a fun conversation?
It's a toss-up between...
Bad movies, like, that are so lame that you want to watch them.
Oh, there's so many of them.
Right? Because do you know what? This is just reminding me. A friend of mine, we've decided, so four of us, myself and Batstash and my friend and her partner, we're all going to go to the movies to see 50 Shades of Grey, and we're going to sneak in alcohol and play a drinking game.
Oh, my.
Basically, every time that the dude... makes an inappropriate comment or tries to rope the girl into doing something kinky, we have to drink. So we're basically wasted
pun?
By the time.
Rope
the
what I hear, 20%.
20%.
20% sex. That's what the movie 20%.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I thought that was literally all the movie was about.
But,
I mean...
It's not porn.
But if
actually,
you're...
I'm curious.
I actually thought
it was
basically
soft porn. Version of that movie?
No. No, nothing.
What's it rated?
It's R. It's going
to
have
it?
An R rating. Yes, it is. But I tell you what would be more exciting is Drive Radio. That would be so much more exciting.
Than what?
Than 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey while drunk,
no.
Playing a drinking game.
I can see you going to jail.
For what?
I don't know. Intoxication.
I don't think you can go to jail for drinking in the movies. I think you can get a slap on the wrist.
Can you tell us when you're going?
Why? So you can dog me into the cops.
Yep.
Nate's with his popcorn.
We've had a report. No, I won't be in the movie. I'll just be sitting outside the movie, just like eating popcorn, watching them go in, and then watching M run out as the cops are like running, nightstick and all in hand. Mike, what have you been reading this week?
Not heaps of sweet.
Oh,
it has been busy, but I did make sure I read Batman purely because of the Endgame storyline, which is currently going.
And?
Really good. I'm liking it. I mean, this whole new story with Joker now. And how he has been around, much like the, Ra's al Ghul character or...
yeah, he's been around for a long time, apparently.
All right, so basically with the whole Joker thing now, it's as if he's been around for decades, hundreds of years even. And that what happens is they've been taking this fluid from his spine, which actually helps people have longer life. And the story was that the whole... death of the family storyline, he was going to apparently share this with Batman because he just wants him around all the time, basically quiet. And when you threw him off the edge of the cliff of the Batcave, he's just basically going, now I'm not sharing it with you anymore, you're seeing a whole new side to me, you know nothing about me. And he's just kind of redone himself now. And
so this is not the original Joker that lost his face. This is the...
No, this is it. This is
so
why,
it's the same
this
Joker.
Is the thing.
It's the
this
same Joker.
This is why he's never been killed. This is why an explosion, he always comes back. He always comes back. This is the explanation.
But if he's been alive for that long, what was he doing all the time before Batman?
Card tricks.
Yeah, they kind of showed him in photos throughout history. Just, he didn't
just
have...
chilling?
No, he was just kind of,
chilling like a villain.
He still...
Was he a villain?
Chilling like a villain.
Like before
he's
Batman?
He's always been a villain.
I think he's always been there, but he probably raised the scale when he realized there was someone there to challenge him.
Was he associated with the Court of Owls?
No.
Okay.
Is he a sociopath?
Fact, oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look,
he's a mental path.
At the end of the last
issue, mental...
and I'll spoil over
what? He's multiple path.
Just in case you haven't read it.
Oh yes, sorry.
He does approach the Court of Owls.
I haven't read it.
To
thanks
for help.
You just
no,
read
I
it.
Spoiled it.
Thank
you. I did spoiler alert.
But apparently, I was reading an article with the guys that create the book, and they were talking about how come June we're going to see this is a lead into a story that will change
everything.
It will turn Batman right on its head, and you'll just go, what?
Yeah, so I really have no idea.
Yeah.
Someone put a theory in that, you know, Joker's his brother. And all this kind of thing.
As opposed to his other brother.
Yeah.
Brother from another mother.
Somehow Thomas is, Bruce Wayne's actually dead, and it's actually, he's Thomas. All this kind of thing. Now, I don't know if any of that's
time
true.
Time machine.
Very interesting.
Time machine. I'm putting it out there. Hot tub time machine.
Hot tub time machine.
Absolutely.
There's not a number two I haven't seen. And you know what? Number two, Blues Brothers 2000.
I'm never
going to watch that again.
Well, that's not in the mix.
No, I've never seen that.
That's not in the mix. You don't need to.
The original is brilliant.
You don't need to.
The second's the same.
The second's a bad taste in your mouth.
There's kids in it. There's no swearing, and just it's never really as good.
Lame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very lame.
Okay. And there's no
sorry, Aykroyd.
And there's no, you know, there's no original Belushi.
There's no Belushi. Oh well, I will say I am keen to see Ghostbusters. This new revamp.
No. I'm jumping on the bandwagon here and saying no, I'm not interested.
One of the man babies complaining?
No, I'm not a man baby. I'm just saying.
All female?
No, all I'm going to say is let me lead into what I've been reading, which is Ghostbusters. I've been reading the segue. I'm actually reading the second series in the Ghostbusters. When they restarted it. So, which is the after they've come back from being in a dimension far, far away. And, was that before? Oh, yeah, no, that was where they started, where they came back. There's 20 issues, and for the last probably 3 weeks, I'm now up to issue 17. So I've only got 3 more to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that's it after that. Is that right? After 20?
Right, yeah.
Oh, come on. What's going on? So this one is still following the same team that did the original one, which is Eric Burnham and Dan. Is it Shooting? Is that how you pronounce his name? I would say. Shooting. We'll say it's Shooting anyway. We never, ever, ever on this show have ever said that we are able to pronounce names correctly, and we will continue that tradition. I'm just getting into the mass hysteria. Well, I'm actually right into it now, up to part 5.
Yeah.
But love it. This is something that obviously I've got into very, very late in the day. But I can't get enough of this. I just have to continue to, when I get a free moment, this is what I'm reading at the moment. So, with 3 issues to go, I'm really hoping it. Do you know if there's any hope of another, you know, sort of series coming out? Because
I don't know.
This has been huge for IDW. I'm really surprised. Next for me is Turtles. So I'll be doing Turtles Ghostbusters crossover, which is 4 issues.
Yep.
So that'll be sort of the next. And that's just finished. So 4's just come out, I think, this month. So I'll be getting onto that. Now, getting back to what you were saying, Em, the thing that I have a problem with Ghostbusters is I don't see why they had to do a whole female cast. And the reason that I say that is because in the comics, we do have females in the Ghostbusters team. We actually have 3 in the Ghostbusters team.
And the Chevy Chase look-alike.
Yeah, and then we have a Chevy Chase look-alike, but they have a man in it. I just don't understand why we had to go polar opposite to what it was. I just don't understand why they couldn't have included women into the teams rather than just saying, okay, we're just going to just have an all-women team.
Because it was an all-male team.
Yeah, but...
This is an 80... Why do we have to have an all-male team the first time?
All I'm saying is that I don't understand, even if they are rebooting it, I don't understand why we have to have a polar opposite to what it actually was. That's all I'm saying. I welcome a reboot if that's what they're doing. I just don't welcome it by having an all male or an all female team. I can't see why they can't have both.
Bring in some of the original,
or have some of the original, or if you're going to reboot it, then we have guys and girls in it.
But the original version was only one particular.
Yeah, but you're talking about a reboot. You're talking about a reboot.
And you can turn around
now
and say, I don't like the original because it was all men. You're arguing. Yeah, but who said there was a rule that reboots have to be 50-50 male, female?
Well, nobody,
cast?
Nobody does. Like, I'm just telling you why I don't like it. I'm not saying it's right. My opinion is probably nowhere near as right. But that's why I don't see that it needs to be one or the other. I would like to see a mixed team.
But what's wrong with that?
We
live
like
in a
I
time
said,
now where we can do that, like times like the 80s.
But why do we need to
embracing of like sort of fun action movies with a whole female cast, and we're able to actually do that now because people have dropped these old like stereotypes and expectations
I'm
of
all
what
for
these
a,
movies should be.
I'm all for a female hero. I have no problems in females being the lead in films.
As long as it's not all of them.
I'm reading the comic right now. I mean, you know, how many years has it been going for? And I feel that this roster is so much better than the four original Ghostbusters because they add an element to it. I think when they had the three females all in together, it just didn't have the same mix that I felt. That's all I'm saying. I just don't feel that's going to be the case.
I mean, for me, I'm reserving judgment because I just want to see what the characters are going to be like. I'm assuming, well, I don't know. I suppose I don't know enough as in, are they going to be scientists? Are they going to be just, you know, they found the equipment? But I have no idea of the story. I think that's why at this point I'm curious to see what's going to be happening, as in, you know, where they're going to take it, how is it going to start? I'm assuming they're taking it from the start again. They're going to build up the whole Ghostbusters team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I suppose I just don't know enough at this point to kind of, when I see a trailer and see how the story's going to play out, how they're going to do their things. Are they going to be nods to the old? And they're going to go, it's going to be a reference to a Twinkie, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see, you know, how that's going to work out.
Mm.
So I suppose for me, I mean, it's still early days and we announced it recently.
I agree with Mike. I think it's really too early to say anything, really, because we just don't know. All we know is the cast. That's it. We know that it's going to happen. We know the cast. And
for me, I want a trailer.
And that's it. Yeah, I mean, I'm itching to see a trailer.
I'll eat my words if it's good, but I'll continue my argument that I would like to see a mixed roster.
Mixed nuts.
Mixed roster. No, not mixed nuts. Because that would be an 80s male roster. I want a mixed bag.
Not mixed genitalia.
I want a mixed bag. I really don't.
I think we should move right along from this topic.
What you watching?
All right.
What you watching?
I can't even remember how we still got on to this.
I was watching Ghostbusters.
No, you were reading Ghostbusters.
I was reading Ghostbusters.
Oh, no, I saw the movies, The Double, at the Astor a few weeks back.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And that's where we're going to watch watching.
Yeah. I don't remember what I've been watching.
I've watched a little bit of Flash and Arrow.
Are you up to date?
Mm. Not yet.
No. Okay, well, don't talk.
Shut up then.
So, no, but...
I shouldn't talk because I'll give it away for you.
No, look, for me... Flash just keeps getting better and better. They've had a few bits and pieces, like, you know, you've seen Brandon Routh dressed up as the Atom for Arrow as well, which...
It's on the watch page.
Looks interesting, yeah.
Exo Manowar, would you say that he looks like Exo Manowar?
Yeah, like, it's kind of the thing where you see the image of the costume, but it could be a completely different thing once you see it in action. So until I see more again... I'd like to see how it works, but
well, he'll be crossing over between Arrow and Flash,
which is great. They're actually building a universe.
I think they'll be doing that towards the end of the season.
Well, I mean, look, they already did a couple of crossovers, and Barry's been in Arrow before the Flash started, so I can't see why they wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I think it'll be good. As for anything else, I really haven't had a chance to watch much more. So I'll try and catch up a bit more before the next episode. Anyone else? Open to the floor.
And
I have been continuing to watch Twin Peaks. So I posted about this on Facebook a little while ago.
Yeah, you were the theme song at the start of second.
Do you know what though? I'm desensitized to it now.
Excellent.
I can actually listen to it now and I'm okay. I'm like, all
because
right.
Because right here I have the CD for you.
Does it actually...
Twin Peaks, greatest hits.
Do you find that it gets you into the episode more, or you prefer not to listen to it?
Now that I'm... Because I'm about, I don't know, six episodes into season two.
This is where it gets kooky
gets kooky. It's fucking shows.
Well, I think he's increased his. I think he's increased his meth at this stage. So
you are actually right. I don't know if you're right about the meth. But,
no, I know. I'm right about the meth. Yeah,
it is getting even wilder than it was.
Yes.
But yeah, now that I'm well and truly into it, I do find that the music now makes me think of the world. So it kind of gets me into each episode. It's getting to the point now that the storylines are getting so twisted, I'm starting to lose track of who's in cahoots with who.
Everybody.
And I'm kind of, it's getting to the point where I'm just like, all right already. Can we just find out who this killer is? Like they're dragging it out a little bit.
Wait until you find out. Who do you reckon it is? Go on the record. Who do you reckon it is?
Well, but
who do you reckon
they've kind of shown the guy.
Who?
The dude with the long hair.
No.
Well, don't just spoil it for
me. No, I'm not spoiling it for you. I'm not spoiling it. That's, who do you think it is? Like, out of the cast, who do you think would be capable of killing Laura Palmer? All of them.
Well, you've just revealed to me that it's someone in the cast.
Well, it could be somebody that they're going to introduce.
Well, then I wouldn't know them yet. What the fuck kind of question? Okay, basically,
I have
no flippin' idea who it is.
No flippin' idea.
It's
I feel as though the music should be playing right now, though.
Yeah, boom.
M's gonna kill me, rap me in plastic.
I don't know. I don't even like I said on Facebook. It's like one part funny, one part kind of sad, and three parts what the fuck. It's just the weirdest show. It is really genre blending. You can't kind of pin it down. It's kind of part soap opera, part thriller, part detective crime show. It's kind of blending a whole load of genres together. And at times it actually has me quite scared. Like it's there are some horror elements, and then at times it has me like laughing out loud. It's
a very weird thing.
It's kind of a roller coaster of a ride watching an episode.
It's because it almost takes you through all of your emotions in that one episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it takes you through the gamut of emotions that you could sort of experience in an. What am I trying to say? No, hang on. It's dramatic, but it's also kind of.
It's humorous in parts.
Rebels in the banality of everyday life. Mm. So at one point, it's like, it reminds you, this is a serious show. This is, you know, got horrific elements.
This is about murder and.
Rape and torture and murder and all these things. Yeah. And then the next minute, it kind of reminds you that. Even when horrible things are going on in your life, you're still probably going to have a funny conversation with a coworker, or there's some person who's going to say something stupid that's going to make you laugh. And that's the weird tension of everyday life. And that's what that show is. It's this weird tension of opposing forces.
Are you excited for the new
I am kind of excited for it
Lynch is writing it.
Yeah,
because
I'm really enjoying the show.
Is he still a drug addict? Because I am concerned if he's kicked the habit, because... It might be a little bit bland. we don't condone, getting back on chasing the dragon, but...
Do you know what I'm really excited for? Because obviously there's the movie Firewalk With Me.
Yes.
Following the end of the series. I discovered the other day for the first time that Boer is in the movie. I did not know that. And I'm not surprised.
You're going to power through that series just to get to that.
I'm trying to remember.
I think I said those very words to Batsach because I watched a clip of the Bowie scene in Firewalk With Me, and I was like, okay, if there was ever a strong motivation for me to finish this series, I now have it, because I need to get to Bowie. He's at the end. He's my light at the end of the tunnel if I ever get, you know, bored.
If they were to get the theme song and him put lyrics to it and sing it.
Oh, my God. It would be like the opening
the
song for in Labyrinth. It's only forever. You know that song? It's kind of got that feel
to
it.
I'm choosing not to right now.
Well, it's between that and Almost Spoken Word, and the way that music is. It's very slow.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what he would do with it.
It's hard, because all I think
just
of...
Just putting it out there.
We need
all
to
I think
petition
of
Bowie
we...
to do that.
Just
twin,
to do...
Twin Bowies.
Twin Bowies.
Twin Bowies!
Twin Bowies. Wow.
Yes! Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, we've got to make that happen somehow.
Twin Ziggy.
So you probably don't know about this, Em, but there's a new series that's coming out from Fox in May, which is called Wayward Pines. And this is really interesting, because I sent it to Mitch from All Star and said, check this out, see what you think. And he actually thought the same thing I did, which is, it looks very similar to a modern day Twin Peaks.
Okay.
So it's called Wayward Pines. It's a little bit kooky. But yeah, Wayward Pines is coming out in May. So I'm looking forward just to seeing what the pilot's like to to see what. But the preview gave me a very strong indicator. The trailer gave me a very strong indicator that it appeared to be a lot like Twin Peaks.
Right.
So yeah, that should be a bit of fun anyway.
And it's got Matt Dillon in it.
It has got Matt Dillon in it. And it looks, even though it's Matt Dillon.
And Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Reasons to watch. There are many reasons to watch this now.
That's right. But yeah, we'll post the trailer on the watch page, and you can tell us what you think, and then we'll sort of take it from there.
Can I just add?
Yes. Add away.
Executive producer M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes, this could be his return to actually something good. Maybe.
And he's not done television before, has he?
I think he's produced before, but I don't think he's been.
Okay, this is really intriguing. This has really got me now. Final thing, it is a what you're watching, but it's kind of a bit different. You might have seen on my blog, I went to see Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra playing the score live. It was amazing. It was absolutely out of this world.
Lens flare? Was there any lens flare? There was. Did they use the lens flare? Did they put lens flare in it? Or did they play the movie above?
No, they played the movie.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So they played the movie and they actually...
I thought it was very cultural.
The orchestra was playing the score in sync at exactly the same time, like at the right moments. It was just mind-blowing.
How hard would that be?
Oh, fuck yeah.
How hard would that be?
It was so impressive.
Because Bruce Lee could never get his words right in his films. It was always out of sync.
Yeah. It was seriously so impressive. It was just amazing. And then at the end, so the audience stayed all the way for the end credits because that's when the score really kind of shines. There's this amazing score throughout the credits.
Mm.
And then they finished the credits, and at the end they played the opening theme music to the original series and to Next Gen.
That's cool.
And one more, I think.
Jamie.
And then,
Jamie's theme.
Right before we left, it came up on the screen and said, "Coming soon." I was so wrapped, right?
Doctor Who.
I guessed it before the picture came up. This little like
Twin Peaks
noise came on, and I was like, "It's Back to the Future." You know that little noise at the start, like the
get out.
Yeah,
I can't do it. And then it just came up with the image of the time thing in the actual DeLorean, and it was like coming soon. So they're going to be showing Back to the Future with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Okay, that'll be a watcher event.
Have you guys seen, it was on Facebook, someone posted, I'm not sure it was, where they do like a live action show.
That was for the background. Yes, yes.
And they've got the actors, as Marty and the...
That was part of part of the 30th anniversary.
Oh, the Secret Cinema event.
I think it was.
Part of the 30th anniversary.
Cool. Yeah. Really, I love the idea. Secret Cinema thing is really cool, but it's very sort of underground. You've got to be in sort of the right network and you've got to be from LA. You know, go to the right place at the right time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Mm. That is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Other than obviously what Mike's been watching, I've actually been watching a new series. It's relatively new. It's probably 4 episodes now, which is the 12 Monkeys TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that is great. I'm really, really enjoying it. So it's a little bit different from the actual film.
It's a new thing now where they're kind of taking these films and making them into TV
making
shows,
them their
like
own.
Fargo was another one.
Yes, and apparently Fargo is... I haven't got to see it yet because clearly my list of TVs is quite lengthy and long for... as I just showed them my really, really long list of things to keep on top of. However, this is actually a lot of fun. There are some variations on it. So Brad Pitt's character is now a female. There is some extra elements that they've added to the future. Mm-hmm. So I think it's 2024 that we're in at the moment.
What was it originally in the film?
The future.
Yeah.
I think it was around about that time.
Okay.
Because it was done in the 90s, or perfect time, what we're talking about. It was it did seem so far in the future at that particular time. So, yeah, and it's actually really good. I enjoy it. It's one of the lead who's playing the Bruce Willis character. Mm-hmm. He is he played a sort of a sidekick role in the TV series Nikita. So, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. So he's playing this role, and I was a little bit concerned because he'd never sort of played a lead before, but he's actually quite good in what he does.
Okay.
There's elements of grit in it. It's probably not as dark, and they don't sort of skip around like they did in the film, you know, sort of back in World War II and, you know, sort of those, you know, back in the 70s and all that sort of thing. It predominantly sort of sits around modern day, sort of early sort of 2000, maybe, you know, sort of early 90s. But that's about as far as we get. So we haven't really got anything further, but I don't think that that's going to be discounted either. I think we'll, because they're trying to track down what they've just discovered is the Army of the 12 Monkeys is more than what we know it to be in the film. And so now they're trying to work out where it actually started, who's involved, and it's not just one person. It seems like it's a society, like it's a more sort of multi-level corporate, you know, who are trying to control this future, which turns into dystopia. So it's a lot of fun. I like it. There's, you know, it's very mixed. If you're a hardcore, you know, 12 Monkeys fan, you know, there's a lot of people who are sort of saying, no, I'm not going to touch it, don't like it. But I enjoyed it, but I wasn't hardcore about it. So maybe that's probably why I'm enjoying the new series. Yeah, so that's me for, 12 Monkeys. I like it. If you haven't had a chance, have a watch. It's good.
Booyah.
Cool.
All right. Well, should we move on to the plugging part of the episode?
Watch plugging. And then we're going to announce our winner.
Our winner.
But let's go into plugging. Let's go into plugging.
After this segment.
It's like you've done radio or something, Mike. Yeah. It really is.
Been practicing.
Mm. Yep.
All right, Em, shall we start with you?
Yes, sure. So I've got two things to plug. Firstly, you would have seen this on the Watcher page already, maybe about a week or two back. Con 70, a retro sci-fi adventure. So this is the follow-on from Con 9 from Outer Space, which was a local sci-fi convention, I think it was 2 years ago now, where it was all focused on the golden age of science fiction. So all the really awesome, tacky, like, you know, B-grade sci-fi movies that, you know...
And we're the best.
Yeah, exactly. There was one on TV recently called Big Ass Spider. Hilarious. Like, that was what it was called.
Yeah, that's it's on Netflix. Get it. You can watch as much as you like.
The Incredible Shrinking Man, yes. You know, The Thing from Outer Space, all those classics. This is the follow-up, which is obviously, you know, based on its name, Con 70. Is about sci-fi from the 70s.
Was Barbarella from the 70s? Or was
I think so, yeah. I think so. So we've got the first Alien. We've got Star Wars.
Yes,
yeah. We've got a whole lot of Doctor Who. There. Yeah, exactly. A whole lot of Star Trek.
Original Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy TV
yes,
series.
Yep. So Buck there's Rogers. A lot of... Buck yeah, Rogers. Buck Rogers. So yeah, a lot gold. Of awesome stuff. So this is happening. It's the long weekend at the beginning of March. I think it's around the 6th or 7th of March. There's a public holiday on the Monday. I can't remember what the public holiday is for. Irrelevant. so basically, you can get to the Con 70 Facebook page through our Watcher page. Yes. I'll repost to Con 70 just to sort of remind everyone. But yeah, get your tickets now. Don't forget on the Friday night, because this goes for the whole weekend, we're having a disco. So 70s themed, we're having a proper 70s disco. We actually have like one of those light up floors,
nice.
Like the disco floors. Yeah,
I know who Dean's going as. I know who's going. No, He's back to the Dazzler.
So, and it is dress up. There will be competitions and prizes for Dean's the best dress.
Dean's a hands down.
Just like with Con 9, if you missed it, there's going to be a heap of really awesome displays. I know for a fact that someone is making an alien diorama, which I can't wait to see. There's going to be film. It's not bad. It's all right. There's going to be a film program. There's going to be a film program, there's going to be panel discussions, there's going to be vendors there so you can buy some stuff, merchandise if you want. It's going to be amazing. Make sure you get your tickets now to Con 70.
Where is it?
It is at the Amora Hotel in Richmond. Is there any guests that
you can sort of tell yet? Or is it surprise, surprise?
The thing about the 70s.
They're dead?
Yeah. We had the same problem with Con 9, we really had that problem because it's 50s and 60s. But even the 70s, you're starting to push it, unless you're looking at bloody, you know, like Sigourney Weaver. She's not going to come down to Richmond for a...
She might, just ask her. Well, she's not doing a lot right now.
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but the idea with this con, just like Con 9, is that it's more about how cons used to run. Mm. So it's less about just buying stuff and seeing famous people and more about fans being able to just get together and talk about the stuff they love, watch the movies they love, geek out together, dress up, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's my first plug.
And you've become a maven.
The second plug is, like I said, everyone else is having babies. I'm having a blog. I've become a blog. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, yeah.
I've become a maven. It's a blog. I sort of did a teaser for this like weeks ago. I've been sitting on this for so long. It's finally out there, Geek Maven. So that's just geek spelt the way you'd imagine it is. Maven, M-A-V-E-N. .com.
Okay, is that right?
Geekmaven.com is my new website. It's specifically it's geared towards girl geeks, so things that girl geeks would be interested in.
I'm out.
That being said, guys are definitely welcome. As I said in the about section, guys are totally welcome. But I'm just writing this with girl geeks in mind because I just thought it'd be a really cool idea to do something for female geeks so they could kind of geek out together and talk about the things that they find interesting. But yeah, there's no reason that guys won't find it interesting as well. So if you are a geek, and especially if you're a girl geek, check it out, geekmaven.com. It's very pink. It's very awesome.
She's riding a rocket.
There's someone riding a rocket.
It was you.
Well...
Is there like an influence picture where you were actually sitting on a rocket, and then the person sort of sketched it out? And, okay, that's great. You know, like they do in comics.
A friend of mine, Garth, and I wish I could remember his last name. It suddenly escaped my head. This is a friend of mine. I forgot Garth Jones.
You say Garth?
Garth Jones. Yep. I just need to plug him because he designed the logo. The logo is amazing. It's kind of a mix of like 80s bubblegum pop and like 50s rocket girl.
I take offense to that. Do you take offense to that? She's sitting with two graphic designers here and she went and asked somebody else.
Guys.
Thanks for the invite.
Okay, doesn't remember his name. It's fine.
That's right. Anyway, that guy from Wayne's World, Garth, someone.
It's really awesome. Yeah. Features such things as a post about a Nicolas Cage fleece throw rug. and I know there are people out there that are going to want
that. Em's favourite things.
It is. It's a Best Buy section. And I'm going to buy the Nicolas Cage fleece throw rug.
That's what it's called. It's called the Nicolas Cage. I'm wearing my Nicolas Cage.
And the new X-Files. Oh, that was news? Fuck. Just go to my blog. The new X-Files.
The new X-Files.
That's news.
Lots of new TV shows coming out next year.
And that's another... Well, they're calling it a reboot, but it's not really because...
They're both continuing.
It's a set...
Are they both signed on?
Yes, Duchovny and Anderson are both coming back. Carter is coming back.
She can't do TV. She's just... She can't do any... Everything that she's done so far has been...
You're such a hater tonight.
No, it's true. It's true. It really is. Well, I did preempt it at the beginning.
But yeah, anyway, so, you know, Duchovny and Anderson are both coming back and Chris Carter. And I think, I've forgotten his name, but the guy that plays the Smoking Man has even said that he's...
Oh, what?
He's just had a hip replacement, but he'll be there.
And
he's got to put...
Bring back Doggett.
And he's on there and he goes, Mulder, I have you. Because he's actually had his voice box taken out.
Yeah,
he's
from the smoking. Yeah.
Wasn't there a film with that? How he just had the smoke in his actual
hole. There was.
I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was.
Gillian Anderson was quoted as saying she would be fucking overjoyed to do more X-Files. And Duchovny also was really into it, but not quite as like.
Isn't Californication sort of nearly done, or it's done now? I think it's close to being done. So he's going to need a new. He's going to need a new pair of loafers soon.
He needs to come back from that because, I mean, the first 2 to 3 seasons of Californication were brilliant. After that,
I saw past 3.
Yeah, it's not worth it. They really ramped up the sleaze factor. They really just turned it into how controversial can we be? How gritty can we be? Where can we take it next? Like, and it just lost the... They lost the story in an effort to just kind of make it as controversial as they could, which was really a shame because the first 2 seasons were really great. Anyway, what's your tangenting? That's it. I'm done for plugging.
That's normal for Rem.
Yeah, I'm done for plugging.
Tangent.
Yep.
Yeah,
Plug Mike.
Well, I'm going to be plugging, I suppose, cons coming up. We're coming into con season.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
So
big time, Supernova.
Supernova is the first one off the rank.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be happening in April. Start of April.
Yes. Yep.
So
look forward to that.
More and more stars are being announced. Sort of Dolph Lundgren is been added to the lineup. So
I want to just go in there with, like, you know, looking like Sylvester Stallone or something, and getting a photo taken with him. That'd be cool.
Oh, look, Rocky. Get dressed up as He-Man or Skeletor.
Skeletor.
Yeah.
And give him the sword, and we can fight. I'd be so down for that. I need a Skeletor. If anybody's got a Skeletor outfit they can borrow, that I can borrow from, let me know.
The original Punisher.
He was the original Punisher. Yep. Wear your t-shirts. I'm sure there'll be plenty of those too.
So yeah, that's coming up in April. So keep an eye out on that and get your tickets.
We'll be there.
So yeah, we'll be wandering around.
Yep.
As for anything else to plug, I mean, sure, 42 Geek Street has started filming again for the year. So nice. We'll be out and about.
Excellent.
Doing stuff.
I hear there's a new segment. There's like a lifeguard or something or other that's going to be in there.
There may be something
going on. I'm going to be excited about that.
So keep an eye on Facebook and see the updates as we do filming. I believe Ren was doing some more filming tonight at the game store in Melbourne with our good friend, the TARDIS guy.
Oh, very good. You know, the other thing that we can plug is Dean's show. So when you listen to this show, his show's over. So
he'll be recovering when he listens to this show.
Yes. Recovery vibes.
Yes.
Well, he won't listen to this show. He never has in the whole history of when he edits, he doesn't listen to the show.
Send him good recovery vibes.
That's right.
He still doesn't.
So Dean should be back for next week's episode.
Yes.
Number 91.
91. We grow ever closer to 100.
No Man's Band. I'm aiming to come back in the next couple of weeks. I've got a few scripts. It's a matter of me drawing them now. So that's what's delaying it. But we'll get on to that.
And if you're listening to this on Saturday, you might see Mike and I at the Creators Meet on Saturday.
Which is on Saturday, the 7th of February in Carlton at, what's the original hotel.
Just the normal place.
Look it up on Facebook, Comic Creators Meet, Melbourne.
Now, the big event.
Yes.
What's your winning?
Now, we've had quite a few responses, and...
good effect there,
let's have a look.
Yep. M can play drums.
I'm just entering all of the competition.
What was the machine that you were calling it again? What's it called?
It was the Randomatrons.
The mic Randomatrons.
Randomatrons. So I'm going to enter it in.
Is he part of the Autobots
I'm just pulling a couple of levers here and this button over here and winch.
Oh, no!
And what that kind of worked through.
Did you build this during the week?
Yeah, I did.
That's why you haven't done the new Nomad. Sorry, Sparky.
I've been building this with the TARDIS guy for a week. Right,
so, list is coming through. We have a name. Tony Davidson.
Tony Davidson.
And hang on, if I press the button, I should get some applause.
Yeah.
There we go.
And that's not to be confused. And he has no relationship to
to Michael Davidson from Comics and Things.
So, no. So, congratulations, Tony. If you can get in contact with us via the Watcher page and give us your details, and we'll get those out to you as soon as possible.
And we'll let you know, and then you can then contact us back. So, we'll just tell you that you've won, and then you can then send us a private message, and we'll organise.
Get that organised.
It's a complicated web.
It is. It's a wonderful web we weave.
So I think we managed. I think it was 11 titles all up because we managed to get a copy of the Melbourne Comics Quarterly.
Not that we put them on the skids or anything on air.
So they have chucked one in for us as well. So
good job, quite a few guys. Issues there. Thanks, Alana. We love you.
And I've got to say, I've got to apologise too because
What did you do?
No, White Cat Press.
Oh,
now
what did you do,
Dale? He sent us a thing for the Aussie Day special, which I totally missed for Peter Pumpkinhead. So
you're just plugging it now because you actually had
just because I did episode 49 and it went up on Monday. But yeah, so
and where can that be found, Mike?
White Cat Press.
Oh right, okay.
Peter Pumpkinhead.
Right.
So the Misadventures of Peter Pumpkinhead. So and that's basically been. Different artists for the last 49 weeks so far have just been taking the story forward. So they all started it, and different artists have come on, and they've just taken it to another point. So
I saw Neville Howard's in there. I think Craig Bruin did
it. Bruin's done one, yep.
Yeah, I think
Manny Taylor did it before me.
I think Trev's done one. Wood's done one.
He's like one of the first ones.
Yeah, so it's this is a good...
There's been lots of
great... No one's asked me yet. Thanks, great lineup. Thanks for the invite.
Great lineup.
But yeah, that's all right.
So, 49 has gone up this week.
M's doing 50.
I'm not going to tell you where I've taken it, but I'm curious to see what they'll do next.
It was such a plot twist. I did not see that coming, even though it's three panels. And it's on one page.
But definitely go and check it out. Check out the site. I believe there's also a Facebook page for it, too. Have a look. Check it out. Get onto it. And yeah, we're just continuing to plug.
And I think that's done. I think
that
we're done.
I think we're done. You know that whole not end up going for an hour and a half.
Well, it hasn't gone for an hour and a half, but we're all right. It's not an hour and a half, but you know, good luck with that. Easy listening.
Hour and 15.
Easy listening with Cameron Datto on Smooth FM. Tops. Enjoy. It's not never easy listening with us. We always try and turn it up a mix. But anyway, it's drive. So
mix it up, turn it up enough.
That's right. You never have enough sin.
Well, when they're not listening to the show, where can they find us, Em?
You can find me at Emma Beddoes on Twitter, or you can check out my website, geekmaven.com.
I've heard of that once or twice.
Geek Slaven.
Slave? That's got a ring to it.
There you go.
But it's wrong. Geek Maven.
that could not be your article title for when you go see 50 Shades of Grey drunk. Geek Slaven.
Yeah. Hashtag drunk.
Hashtag drunk.
Hashtag low.
Mike?
You can find me at Mickey Toons all over the interwebs, apart from Instagram, where it's the real Mickey Toons, since that was already taken. So once again, the real Mickey Toons.
And you can find Dean at Dean R. Curry on the Twitterverse. You can find me at Nath from Watcher on Twitter and updating the Watcher page because I'm the only one that does it, maybe. On occasion.
Ad nauseum. Yeah.
you can check us out on the Watch page on Facebook, facebook.com/Watcher and Watch Podcast, on Twitter at Watcher Show, and also on Instagram, where we post a daily pic of something that we really like, which is so much fun.
Like sliced ham.
At Watcher Show, never sliced ham. Maybe an olive here or two.
Sure.
Nath with some T-Rex hands, but other than that, as I speak in the third person, but as I speak in the third person, we should probably finish. So if it's watch it, 90s picnic.
Watch it chomping.
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
Or
watch it plugging.
Oh, that's not so bad.
You
watch your female ghost busting. We want to hear about it. Thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.